Wednesday, June 20th, 2000. Oh, no, today. Today's Wednesday. Fuck. Man, this week, yesterday, I was like, oh, man, it's only Tuesday. And today, I'm like, oh, shit, it's already Wednesday. Wednesday, June 19, 2019. This is The Better Life. I am your host, Timothy Lawson, along with my better half, Eric Rosenthal. Sir, how the hell are you?
I'm wonderful, man. How are you?
I'm good. Just now realizing that today's Wednesday. So, so that's a thing. We have a handful of sort of, we have a list full of things, Eric. I'm not quite sure where we're going to get, how far down this list we're going to go. I'm going to make a judgment call on time, but, whatever we don't get to this week, some of this stuff's evergreen, right? So whatever we don't get to this week, we'll just mention, in our dialogue section, next week. But Eric, living the better life, means having some crazy turn of events, swing your guaranteed loser into, oh my goodness, I can't believe I just won that wager. Just earlier today, I had Argentina plus one against Scotland. Scotland went up 3-0 when they get their third goal in the 69th minute. So going into 70, with about 20, 25 minutes left, Argentina was down 3-0. I needed two goals to even just even get a push. Sure enough, 74th minute, they get a goal. 79th minute, they get a goal. And then in the 90th plus 4 minutes, that's the 90th minute plus four in stoppage time, they get a penalty kick. They miss, but there's a foul called on the goalkeeper for coming off of her line too soon. Some ridiculous rule that they started enforcing more often lately, I think. But I benefit from it, Eric, so I'm not going to complain. Argentina gets the penalty kick. They square it up 3-3, and my Argentina plus one bet wins. And it was a significant win for me because I'm already down. I'm already behind a little bit on the week, and I had a decent position here on Argentina. So I was prepared to sort of be done for the week. Like, I was like, oh, all right, well, I'm probably to slow down this week because I'm it's not going so well. And all of a sudden, I went from sort of preparing to be down more than I'd like to be to being about even. Actually, above even. So that's nice.
You know, it happens enough the other way that savor this one a little bit. Like, really, really, like, soak it in. Because, you know, when it happens the other way, it's just brutal.
You couldn't be – well, so here – so you couldn't be more right. Hedging is an interesting thing, right? You feel brilliant when you don't hedge and it works out. That's how I was with the Raptors. I had them plus 265, I think, to win the series. I decided to not hedge, and of course that worked out for me. And then going into the weekend, going into Sunday, I had, you know, it was funny, you were like, hey, I'm not doing so. Like, I had a big loss. Swing for the fences. Well, I swung for the fences, Eric. And the Chilean goalkeeper was like, nah. Not happening for you. I should have bought off on it when you said that, or I should have bought it back when you said you had leveled out. But I took a large position on the United States because I found a number at minus 3.75. And in golf, or not golf, in soccer talk, that means half my wager was on minus 3.5. The other half was on minus 4. I saw this being a 4-6 goal game for the, for the U.S., so I thought I was getting, I felt like I was getting some value there. And so I took a decent position on it. And going into halftime, U.S. were up 3-0. I didn't hedge. I had the opportunity to get 4.5 on the other side, where I could have had this like four goal, interesting middle, but I was like, nah, I'm gonna sit and wait. Going into halftime, 3 goals felt good, right? I just need one more. I just need one more with no goal from Chile. And Chile's goalkeeper played her freaking socks off in the second half, fending off a few brilliant shots from the U.S. And then Carly Lloyd couldn't put a penalty kick even on frame, let alone make it. So the game ends 3-0 and I lose that wager. But it was still a very nice week for me last week. In fact, Eric, I believe that's 3 weeks in a row where I've had not only winning weeks, but pretty decent weeks for myself. So feeling good about this trend, especially after the big Argentina win today.
this tiddlywink action you're having is paying off for you. That's
it is. It is. The winks are tiddling the right way.
I still don't understand a word that you're saying, but you know, listen, if you're cashing tickets, right? I believe they say that's what it's all about. So good for you.
You're gonna call my wife and she's gonna be like, oh, is it you think it's a problem? No, it's not a problem. I just don't know what he's gambling on. He's got it under control. I just don't understand what he's getting his action down on. Makes no sense to me. very well. So that was sort of my that's sort of last week and this week sort of recap for me in sports. You mentioned on the last show that you had a bad beat, told me to swing for the fences, and later when Toronto won the series, you told me that you leveled up a little bit. I had a nice cash. How was that for you?
Toronto giveth and Toronto taketh away, or I guess in my case, Toronto taketh away and then Toronto giveth. Game six, I had Toronto money line. I had them against the spread, and I also had the over. So all three cashed in game six, which brought me right around even. And I had a couple of other odd things cashed. So I squeaked out a half a unit by the end of the week, which from where I started, that was a huge hill to climb. So I'm actually very, very happy with a half unit last week. And starting out pretty good this week. So I'll give you the opposite guidance and maybe tread a little bit lightly this week.
Okay.
Things went so well that I made it a point to do a withdrawal at one of the sports books where the balance got to be too high.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's a little bit of a funny story. So I had always stayed away from points bet when they first came out because they didn't have a brick and mortar presence. And it matters to me that I can go to a cage and either deposit money or withdraw money. So the Meadowlands is really a FanDuel property, but they have a window. Points bet has a window there. By the way, not labeled anywhere. Like, you have to know about it to know where to go. You wind up going to like a customer service desk and then they send somebody over to an unlabeled window.
You're like, I want to make a bet. I don't need drugs.
Well, they don't. So this is just for withdrawals and deposits.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah,
it's not right. So there's no ticket taker. It's just money in, money out. So the Meadowlands is about an hour from my house. So I take the trip up to the Meadowlands and I go to the same window where I had deposited money not that long ago. And I tell them that I'd like to do a withdrawal. And she says to me, did you put it in on the app? I need the code. And I said, oh no, I didn't know I had to do that. So I go on the app and I go to set up a withdrawal. And when you say you want to do it at the cage, they say within 24 hours, somebody will get back to you and give you a code. And then you bring this code to the cashier and they will cash you out. Well, having driven an hour, I didn't want to wait up to 24 hours right. for this code. I mean, I do have some things to do, right? So I said, all right, I mean, I don't need the money. I just don't want to leave it all in this book. So I initiate an ACH transaction, and it gives you no guidance whatsoever in how long it's going to take. I ask the girl at the cage, and she says she has no idea. That's, you know, not her. She wasn't, like, mean about it, but she was, you know, not her job kind of a thing.
Word, yeah.
Okay, no problem. So I contact PointsBet. And they say that your withdrawal request goes into a queue, and within 2 days, their financial team will approve the withdrawal. And from that point, within 3 business days, you'll have your money. My math, 2 business days plus 3 business days plus a weekend in between. It's going to take me a week to get my money.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you had no problem taking the cash over the counter.
It didn't seem to take so long when the money was going the other way.
Right. Now, listen, I would probably be equally as upset if it took a week to fund an account, right? Because then, you know, that poses other problems. But when you have a good week, and I'm not a proponent of leaving, you know, it's all relative, right? But if I'm saying that I think it's a substantial amount of money, I don't want that just sitting in a sports book. To make me wait a week for my money, that doesn't seem right. I'm not entirely sure that I'm okay with that. And PointsBet has been very good to me. Their promotions have been very good. I have a host there. We've worked out certain arrangements on deposits and things of that nature. And really, overall, they've been very, very good. This isn't okay. There's got to be a better way. And I guess the answer is now I know, then I guess a day before I want to go there, I request it and then make the trip. But like, they have no presence whatsoever. It's a customer service rep for, you know, the Meadowlands Player Services. Like, you have to have a way for people to get money in and out. And yeah, that's a thing. And like, that would never fly in Vegas. That would never fly in Vegas.
Well, I mean, when you're talking, and not this excuses it, you know, I'm sure people, maybe, you know, people who haven't done this process of putting money into a sports betting account and wagering it. Look, I'm willing to bet most of their players aren't putting money in and then later come in and take it out, right?
Right.
Most bettors are putting it in and taking it. And I think that, you're like, this wouldn't fly in Vegas. It shouldn't fly in New Jersey, with the amount of competition that's there. But, I imagine that especially with sort of the novelty that PointsBet has, probably even lends itself even more to money in, not a whole lot of money out. I'd be curious now to know how often they get a visit from someone like you to withdraw.
Well, I can assure you there was a line of people and I was the only one looking to take money out. So, at least as far as I knew, but most people had cash in hand approaching. So, you know, I guess it's theoretically possible they're walking around with cash in hand, still asking for a withdrawal, but common sense would dictate otherwise. So, that was the PointsBet experience, which, came the day after my FanDuel experience, who's their neighbor at the Meadowlands. Really the Meadowlands, is a FanDuel property. So I went to log into my FanDuel account and they're not interested in my action either. So
Eric, no one wants to play with you anymore, man.
No, you know, I'm about to take my ball and go home.
Like, yeah,
this is becoming a thing. So DraftKings, you know, we made nice and, you know, I provided them everything they were looking for. They reinstated my account. So the account is good. The money was there, but now anytime I try to bet on something, they limit me to a ridiculously low amount. Now they're,
and you don't have to give us a dollar amount, but when you say ridiculous, give us like a percentage, like what percent are you able to bet now compared to what you were trying to get down originally or what you would prefer to get down?
Less than 1%.
Holy smokes. Are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Less than 1%.
My bet was limited to less than 1% of what I was trying to put down. Yep.
Oh, my goodness.
The infrastructure for the DraftKings sportsbook is handled by a company named Kambi. KAMBI. And I'm going to give credit to Captain Jack Andrews at CapJack2000 on Twitter. He talks about this fairly regularly and how basically Cambi keeps these player profiles and acts on it, and acts, I would say, fairly aggressively on it. And the problem is that DraftKings isn't the only book that they're running. So I went to look to see what other Cambi accounts I have. And BetStars is also a Cambi account. And I tried to put an action on BetStars. Now, not limited to 1%, but I would say limited to about 25% of what I was trying to put down. Had no problem with that before. So I don't know, you know, if my referral bonus thing created a flag and now Cambi is just looking to push me away. But I can tell you for sure, like, my options are getting more limited.
Yeah. Well, sad day. Sad days. Seems like you, I mean, when did you start this? I mean, you started getting into the exploiting the New Jersey sports books for their offers and promotions and referral bonuses and all that sort of stuff pretty much once they stood up, right?
Yeah, but here's the thing, right? Now, aside from referral bonuses, like, if I was just playing, like, you know, all of these places offer like boosted odds and different promotions to, you know, just get you betting. If that was all that I was doing, like, I would totally get it. Like, you should absolutely, if you see somebody who the only time they show up is they're playing like your lost leaders, you know, that would be fine. The overwhelming majority of my action is on sides and totals. Overwhelming. I mean, you know, I mean, they limit you to, you know, like $100 bet here or a $50 bet there on most of these promotions. My other action is substantially larger than that. And it's on the action that they want. It's the traditional bets, where the line, and it's, you know, if it's the baseball, it's day of game. Like, that line should be hammered out. I don't get it. I don't get it. Many people have talked about how, you know, they're having, I guess, similar problems as to what I'm having. But I would say that they are sharper bettors than I am. I make my money in other ways, so it's certainly not my handicapping. And whatever it is, you know, once they have you in their sights, that's it. So the FanDuel thing had nothing to do with Cambi, but the DraftKings limitation, the BetStars limitation, you know, it's unfortunate, but this European model really is like, okay, like, once you show us you're pretty good at what you're doing, we're not going to let you do it anymore. And right, so $25 bets, $50 bets, $100 bets, they all add up. You know, I can only assume the only reason why I'm still allowed to bet at William Hill is because I haven't attempted to bet at William Hill. We talked there was a while where you were kind of into the Will Hill app and the promos, and we talked it through. And
yeah,
I used them a few times then, but I mean, I don't even go to Will Hill. I don't even open the app. I don't even look at their lines. So
you know what? I should check their promotions though during the World, if they have any World Cup promotions. I might be able to exploit one or two. I should look into that again. Maybe not though. I think I just stopped because, well, yeah, anyways. So, like, I mean, I don't know if you want to say, like, what are you doing? Are you adjusting how and when? Are you
Well, I've been giving more and more of my action to Caesars and to PointsBet.
Okay.
But I'm PointsBet, like, you got to be able to give me my money sooner than a week.
Right.
Right? Like, you know, it was a good run. That's great. Let's, you know, profits that just sit in an account aren't really profits. They're like unrealized gains.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'm looking at Caesars. Their lines have been the best for Major League Baseball. They're offering real dime lines.
Oh yeah, I was gonna ask, what is it, baseball you've been betting? When you mentioned the big win you had, was that you're betting baseball? It's been
predominantly Major League Baseball.
Okay. Yeah. Very well. Have you had an opportunity to hit the casino?
It almost seems odd that the answer is no. I don't think I've been to a casino since the last time we spoke.
Yeah, there was a couple opportunities, well, not opportunities, but there were a couple times where I had an inkling or I was thinking about going, but I just couldn't fit it into my day. I will be there. I will be running down to National Harbor just briefly, I think, on Sunday morning to play a promotion that I have and pick up some free play. Otherwise, yeah, I also have not made my way into a gambling establishment. But not too long ago, Eric, a few of our listeners were just here in my backyard. John B., Carl Schlegel, and Mississippi Rob were all at National Harbor. They put a little, I think Rob put out a little beacon out there and got some response, but anyways, all three of them were there, and have you listened to both audio?
I listened to both audio. Yep.
Great. And so we actually have a little bit of audio, one from John B, one from Carl. We'll play John B's first. Here's John B's little recap of a little listener meetup they had here at MGM National Harbor.
Hey, Better Life. It's John B. Last night, a number of Better Life listeners met up at MGM National Harbor. Of course, our fearless leaders, Tim and Eric, couldn't make it. Neither could Jason Gillikin of Vice Lounge Online, who was also in town. However, Mississippi Rob happened to be in the D.C. area, so Carl and I made the trip over to National Harbor. We had a fun time playing some video poker, nothing really outstanding. I got a straight flush, gave some of it back. Rob and I both hit quads, gave some of it back. So, quads are available at National Harbor, Tim. Since a straight flush is like a royal flush, we've now demonstrated that that is possible at National Harbor, Tim. And it's just you having bad luck, I guess. After Rob left to drive to his hotel, Carl and I sat down and played some Pai-Gow. It was pretty uneventful. However, the dealer had a masterful troll of a player who couldn't turn over anything better than like a king high for several hands. Dealer held the cards out to the player and says, "Well, since you can't turn over anything good, do you want to turn over my cards?" That was pretty awesome. Also had a relief dealer that, well, let's just say it was kind of like Baltimore again. So that was fun. Anyway, it was a fun meetup. Hopefully next time, Tim and Eric, you guys can actually make the meetup of your listeners. And hope to see you guys soon.
Eric, first of all, it is a relief to know that MGM National Harbor's video poker does indeed produce quads. I was starting to doubt that, but John so nicely reminded me and let me know that they did. How about that Pai-Gow dealer troll? Huh? It doesn't seem like you can flip a hand. You want to flip mine instead, or you want to show mine instead? If you were losing, would you be amused by that? Or would that annoy you? Would that dig at you a little bit?
It depends. You know, have you built a rapport with the dealer up until that point? You know, like even if I'm a little sour, you know, if it's a good dealer and there's good rapport, you know, they could throw a jab every now and then. But if it's not a fun table and not a good experience with the dealer, yeah, that's salt in the wound. I don't know that I'd love it, but it sounded like everybody was having a good time. So I think it's, you know, just all in good fun.
And as they mentioned, drink and push, not really as possible at casinos here in Maryland, as we are one of those states where you have to pay for your booze. And also when you're playing locally, you're a little less likely to get a little baka. I also have not done a traditional drink and push at MGM National Harbor for those two reasons, but now maybe one day I will. I think maybe that's coming down the line, that I should do a nice full Pie Gal session with booze and all at my backyard casino. He mentioned that at the very end, John mentioned they had a relief dealer that was akin to the dealer they had that you are part of as well. Mm-hmm. up at Horseshoe Baltimore, where they were essentially paying out when they weren't supposed to, and it was great.
Always a good thing.
Always a good thing. Mm-hmm. Carl sent in a little audio as well. Let's hear from him.
Tim, Eric, Carl, how are you guys? I'm sure by now you know we had a little bit of an unsanctioned meetup at MGM National Harbor a few weeks ago. It was myself, John B., and Mississippi Rob was in the area. It was really cool to see both of those guys, especially Rob, who it's rare that he gets up in this neck of the woods. John B. is always good to see. We didn't have a fancy name for our meetup, but we were toying with the bi-quarterly steel Tim's Royal Flush at MGM National Harbor, but that might be a bit wordy for a t-shirt. After a while, Rob had to roll. He had traveled all the way down to Richmond that evening, but John and I thought about leaving and then decided better of it to go play some Pie Gal. We didn't get to drink and push because, you know, Maryland, you got to pay for booze, and we both had drives to do. But we got to hang out for a while. I think John probably let you know about the dealer, and maybe one of the funniest things I've ever heard a dealer say. Greatest troll moment ever. But I will say, John is fantastic at removing chips from the table. Eric, I know you mentioned that a couple weeks ago. I got to witness it, and I was blown away. Well, with all that being said, I hope you guys have a good one. And Tim, do better.
First of all, I will soon be the proud owner of some Schlegel Farmed raised beef. Just put it in order for some beef from Schlegel Farm. So you can laugh at how that sounds all you want, but I'm getting some of Carl's beef, Eric.
It's a family friendly gambling podcast, right? I should refrain.
Yeah. I think we all heard the joke there without saying it though, right?
Okay.
Yeah, Schlegel Farms, unofficial sponsor of the Better Life. Carl, by the way, Carl, thanks for the audio. Glad you guys were able to meet up, and I do hope John, Carl, Mississippi Rob, that y'all enjoyed yourself. And it was the one week. I mean, who? Jason from Vice Lounge was also in town, and it was funny seeing both Mississippi Rob hit me up, Jason hit me up. It was the one week in the string of weeks that I wasn't around. Had it been 3 or 4 days the other direction, I would have gotten a chance to see them. So, but that's to say,
you couldn't even be in town when they fly in. Do better, Tim.
Just I know. I
should do better. That's all.
Yeah. Well, that's what Carl said too. Uh-huh. To do better. Uh-huh. But Carl brought up an interesting situation that he was in. Question for you two gents, maybe content worthy. It's been gnawing at me, and I don't know how to best proceed. Played blackjack the other night. Great dealer, lovely person, effective, efficient, but I'm 99% sure she was stealing from the casino. I was putting out bets for her and we were winning. They've got the little cup thing so they can color up and drop bigger chips. And for people's reference, that's like a little plastic thing. It's about 10 chips high, maybe not even that high. But they'll put their tokes over there, and then when it reaches a certain amount, they take it out, they color up, and they drop them. Eventually, it's full, and she colors up the tokes. She cuts the whites into two piles of five and then cuts out four reds and drops them. Super fast, super efficient. I didn't say anything, didn't acknowledge, but it's on my mind. Thoughts. So one thing I want to point out, and you pointed out, Eric, that you know it's not our job to protect the house, but I do want to dignify Carl's concern because it'd make me feel a certain way too, though, if I noticed it. I wouldn't say anything. But if I was sitting at a table, and here's the reason why. If for some reason someone caught it, I wouldn't want there to be any speculation that I was a part of it or knew, right? That I was constantly tipping so they could do this, right? Or anything like that. But you know, that's the chances of that, of course, are slim. But that would it would make me feel a certain way as well. But as you mentioned, it's not our job to protect your house. What are your other thoughts on this?
I think if it were anywhere other than a casino, I might speak up. The casino is just different. And they have full-time professionals whose job it is to watch for this and to make sure that that isn't happening. I'm not going to get involved, especially for red chips. Now stealing is stealing. And, you know, is there a difference between stealing $10 and stealing, you know, $1,000? Yeah, there's a difference, but,
if the dealer somehow managed to cap a black chip with one of the reds, would that change your inkling to say anything?
No. Okay. No,
I'm just curious.
Because part of it is that you know that behind the smiles and the handshakes, their job is to get the chips in front of you into their rack.
Right.
I would never do anything to steal from a casino, but I'm certainly not going to rat somebody out. That's not my place. Yeah. So, you know, if it were
I was going to say, if you're, you know, because you mentioned not at the casino, if you were at the grocery store and you were, you know, you paid with cash or whatever, and the cashier went to give you change, you saw her slip another five out and sort of throw it on the, like put on the counter, handed you your cash and then slip the five into her pocket. Would you say something? It's tough. Right? Like I don't know if I'd say something.
It's,
right.
It's, I don't know. And, yeah. It's not the immediate no that it is at a casino. But maybe.
Yeah.
That's a maybe. The casino's a no.
So, and I think, I think everybody knows this, but just to be clear, we're talking about if the dealer was doing something that was technically stealing or robbing from the house, if they were doing anything that was somehow taking away from another person.
Oh, that's another story.
At the table.
That's another story.
Exactly. Like I'm pretty sure we're all on the same page, but just so like, if it's not that we don't point out thievery or sneaky stuff, but it's when it's a person against the house. Like you said, there's people out there for it. In the same way that if I saw someone post, so if you saw someone past posting,
no, would you say anything? No,
yeah, no. Right, exactly. Same, sort of the same thing, right? Like, it's cheating. It's technically theft in that way.
No, it's absolutely theft. It is absolutely theft. There's people for that. I'm not that person. That's right. Not my job. I didn't volunteer for it. I'm certainly not on their payroll. Yeah. No.
So if I saw someone stealing from their establishment outside of casino, I probably wouldn't say anything right there. But when I get home, I might hop online and leave through their contact us. But like, by the way, I witnessed this at your store. You know, maybe one of those, because you know, in other places in the world, they don't, you know, I worked in loss prevention at one point, and I'll tell you, it was a big store with enough cameras and crew to catch some people doing stuff, but it's still not easy. Not everywhere has the opportunity to catch people in wrongdoing. Casinos absolutely have the capacity for that. And talk about an establishment that I'm confident in most of the places, of course, not everywhere, but I'm confident in most of the places that if I was wronged, there would be a conversation we had about it. And we've unfortunately heard, I think there's too many scenarios or stories where when the player is wronged, it's not always righted. Right. So all that to say, Carl, understand your concern. It probably make me feel, I would notice it and maybe make me feel a certain way, but I wouldn't think to say anything, nor would I let it bother me when I left the table.
Yeah.
Derek's done.
Yeah. He's done enough. Yeah. Just not my place. By the way, I want to make a correction. Did I say BetStars before?
You did. I just thought you were just like making stuff. I was like, all right, Eric's on some new shit I've never heard of.
No, BetStars is a legit sports book, but that's not the one.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. BetStars okay. is a legit sports book, but that's not the other one that limited me. It was Sugar House that limited me with the other one.
Okay.
So just to set the record straight, it was Sugar House, not BetStars. I haven't had any issue with BetStars actually, but I don't give them a lot of action.
Okay, very well. But yeah, that's those are kinds of stories and situations that I'd really like to hear about, because you can sort of get into the weeds on the ethics behind it and the situations, and you know, what do you say, what do you do, stuff like that. It doesn't always have to be like wrongdoing, but it's anywhere anytime you're at a table, and this is, you know, this goes back to what one of the things that inspired The Better Life was. When you're at a table and anything other than just the routine play happens, it almost becomes noteworthy. There's almost a discussion that can be had about it. It's always interesting hearing about people's experiences at the table. Eric, last week we had Vinny Chenz from the 7 Out podcast on the show. I do believe at this point, or soon, this week, he will be heading out to Vegas for the World Series of Poker. Wish him the best of luck out there. But he has been doing a 30-day countdown to WSOP and Vegas, involving a countdown of his favorite gambling or casino-related movies that have come out in his lifetime. I think The House at number 10 was the last one that we had talked about. So I briefly wanted to go over the top 10, and you mentioned that you don't really watch movies. I don't watch a whole lot of movies either. It just happens that gambling and casinos, like when I do decide to watch a movie, that's usually a subject that I go to, but, we're just going to go down the list. If you have any note you'd like to make about the movie, whether you like it, dislike it, whatever it may be, I'm interested in hearing that. So number 10 was The House, and I proclaimed last week how much I really enjoyed that movie. It's super entertaining. Number 9, The Hangover. I think we've all seen this movie, right? Like, I mean, this is like a pretty staple Vegas movie.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think of it as a gambling movie, though.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, it's definitely it fits the bill because it takes place in Vegas, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's that one, I guess, in Hangover 1, there is that scene where. He sits down and counts cards to get money, to get some money back. So, but there is that. But you're right, not so much a really gambling movie. Fits the bill because it is a Vegas movie. High Roller. I have not seen High Roller, actually. Have you?
Nope.
Mm. Can't say much about it. But it hit number 8 on his countdown. Number 7. Lucky You. It's one of those movies that I continue to see as I browse the interwebs for gambling movies, and I see it and I like consider watching it, and then I just don't. I can't imagine you've seen this movie.
No, I'm not a movie guy. If it's not like one of the big ones, rest assured I haven't seen it.
Right. A movie that I'm sure makes the list that you've seen, at least I hope it would, The Cooler.
So I have seen the cooler. That's the William H. Macy one, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good movie. Also, not really a...
It takes place in a casino, and people are gambling, yeah, but it's hard to it's call it a gambling movie. It's not a
gambling movie. No.
Right.
Yeah.
One of the things that I like about The Cooler is there is a quick scene, or not a quick scene, but there's a scene. There's a few scenes that take place in a motel, and it's called Better Life Motel, and spelled the way the podcast is spelled. So I do appreciate that, and I learned that after I named the podcast. It was even better surprise when someone pointed that out. I hadn't noticed it the first time I'd watched it. And then someone pointed it out after the podcast started, and I was tickled to death. What was that? That was number six. Number five, Owning Mahoney. This movie. First of all, have you seen this? Have you seen Owning Mahoney?
I've seen Owning Mahoney. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. It's a phenomenal movie. It's well written. Philip Seymour Hoffman, great performance. It'll make you. The first time I watched it, Eric, I couldn't finish it in one sitting. I actually had to stop watching it and take a break and then finish it because the degeneracy of it, if that's not the right word for it, degeneracy, mm-hmm. It makes you feel uncomfortable. I'm not sure. Maybe I'm alone on that, but like, how did it feel when you watched it, watching that type of gambler?
No, it was sad. It was heavy. It was, I was able to continue on and watch it in one sitting.
Well, you're a braver man than I.
Apparently so. but it was, excuse me, it was a good movie. That was a gambling movie. I wouldn't say in a good way, but right. That was a gambling movie. Yep.
If you really want to talk about gambling movies, right, where there's inherent gambling in it, when they're in, like, it's got to be towards the top on the amount of gambling in it, the focus on gambling, and the accuracy of the gambling that is occurring. It's got to be one of the better movies when you consider all three things.
Yeah, so, you know, when Vinny asked last time what my top three were, like, I wasn't prepared for that. I think it makes my number three.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think it's my number three.
It's a good movie. If you have not watched it, if you're a gambler in any sort of way, I so much recommend watching it just because it's one of those, like, it puts so many things in perspective. And if you've ever had someone in your, even if you've had no issue with gambling, but completely had it under control, you're more of a recreational player than most recreational players are. It'll put things in perspective, and it'll remind you why this activity is so uncomfortable for some people, and why there's so much concerns on that. But anyways, I promise that I have no stake or stock in the sales of Owning Mahoney. number four, a classic for sure. The movie Casino came out in 1995. And for some reason, it doesn't even seem like it was that recent. But it was definitely a gambling and Vegas and casino movie classic. I believe this made your top three, didn't it?
I think I said last time that Rounders is probably my favorite.
Yeah.
One of my favorite movies of all time. I put Casino above Rounders.
Okay.
Yeah. Casino. And again, it's really not a gambling movie. It's really more a movie about the mob that centers around.
Right.
Right. So, I don't know that I'd put it in my top three gambling movies of all time, but it's definitely my top three movies of all time.
Sure. Vinny mentions, even, you know, it's he said he debated having this classic at number one, but that it is a more of a mob movie than a gambling movie. But the casino aspect of it, and you know, both De Niro and Pesci have really great performances in it, as well as Robert De Niro. So fantastic movie. Oceans 11 and Oceans 13, he combined for his number three spot. I'm not gonna lie, I was I love Ocean. I enjoy the Ocean's movies. Of course, Ocean's 11 was fantastic. Ocean's 13 was great as well. I don't know if I liked 13 enough to give it a co-space with 11. I don't know if you have any opinion on the Ocean's movies, but those are my thoughts.
I agree completely. 11 was fantastic. 13 was really good. 12 was unfortunate in many ways. Yeah. So maybe if we were making our list, we'd make it Ocean's 11 and leave 13 out. But 13 was very good, just not top. What number did he put them at?
3.
Yeah, I mean, Ocean's 13 doesn't qualify for top 3 status.
Yep, yep. Number 2, one of the most quoted Vegas movies, I think, while I'm at a Vegas vacation. Well, not, I've only been to one, but when I was at Vegas vacation last year, I think the Vegas vacation movie had to be one of those quoted movies that I heard the entire time there, especially from Tony Snyder, who seems to, like, in the most random spots, ramble off some pretty funny quotes from this movie. But it is, I think Vinny makes such a great point here. Chevy Chase may be an asshole in real life, and Randy Quaid may have gone completely apeshit, but they make comedy gold in this movie, and it's so true. It's a wonderful movie. I don't love it the same way that all the diehards love it. And what I mean is that I don't think it would make my top 5 if I did a top 5, but I mean, it would be on the bubble for 5, and it would probably, I would struggle with not making it 5 the whole time that I wasn't.
I don't watch a lot of movies. I certainly don't watch a lot of, like, spoof comedy types of movies. I have willingly watched this movie at least 30 times. It is really that good. Also not a gambling movie. You know, I think. I take a more literal
You're thinking 2 for the money. You're thinking
Yeah.
Yes. You're thinking rounders. Yeah. You're thinking where, like, the subjects are literally, like, the focus is gambling, the subjects are, like, constant, there's multiple gambling scenes, etc.
Right. But yeah. I mean, this is one of one of the greats, but not a gambling movie.
I think it rides the fence because there's a number of gambling scenes that I think are good enough.
If they were gambling scenes that were accurate and that the gambling was part and parcel with the storyline, then I'd agree. But you know, I mean, I think the most accurate part of the movie was when the dealer says to Chevy Chase, you know, how about I kick you in the balls, take half your money, and call it a day. You know, we've all had those days. That was accurate gambling content. Yeah. But you know, the 7 cars that Mr. Papa Giorgio won. So great. You know, right? I mean, it was a very, very enjoyable movie, and probably the next movie that I'll watch will again be Vegas Vacation.
The top spot is, at the time of this recording, has not been announced. It'll be announced tomorrow morning, so Thursday morning it'll be announced. But Eric, since it hasn't made the list yet, and I can't imagine a poker player leaving it off the list, I think it's safe to say that Rounders will likely be his number one movie, and well deserved for that spot. I think, unless you just don't play poker at all, I think every gambler likes Rounders.
Yeah, I mean, so we're saying that Vegas Vacation was number 2 on his list?
Yes, Vegas Vacation was announced today at number 2 on his list.
Okay, so then I don't need to hear Rounders be number 1. You won the bet. Name your charity.
Let's go with a charity called Young and the Brave. They're a organization that supports children with cancer. Not so much from a medical standpoint, but from, like, an emotional support standpoint, right? Okay. So they're a charity that a friend of mine really likes, and I've collaborated with her on some on fundraising for it. If you search The Young and the Brave and actually put my name, you'll actually see a story that I shared with them.
All right. Well, the Young and the Brave Foundation, you've got $25 coming your way.
Nice.
Courtesy of Rounders and
Vinny Chenz.
Tim Lawson and Vinny Chenz.
Sure. For enjoying that. Yeah, but if you go to that link, if you go closer to the bottom, you'll actually see a picture of myself and my wife and our dog, I think. And you'll see my name. And actually, I shared my little cancer my cancer-free story.
I am at the bottom. Oh, there you are.
Yeah.
There you are. Hey, look. There's Driver.
There's Driver. Heck of a dog, that Driver.
Yeah.
But anyways, if anybody's curious about my story of battling cancer 17, you can try to I'll tweet this out if someone asks. Once someone asks, I'll then tweet it out. I am excited to hear about Vinny's experience out of the W. Have you ever played in the WSOP? Have you played any events? No,
I have not. No.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I actually find that surprising.
My skill level has never been there. It would be a donation. I'd rather give it to charity.
Okay. I was sort of expecting I was in town and bought into a $500 buy-in or two, you know, whatever event to say that I did or something like that. But okay.
I don't do things to say that I did them. that's like a rule.
Okay.
If the reason for doing something is so that I could say that I did it.
Well, I oversimplified that, but like for the experience, right? Like you know, you wanted the experience of playing at a WSOP event, but great.
I've been felted at poker tables before. I don't need the experience again.
you don't need to overpay for that experience.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Very well. Very well. Okay. All right. We are far enough into this recording that we're not going to finish. We're not going to go into another discussion that I had lined up. So we will save that discussion for next week's dialogue. You're not really so much a movie. I had written down here like scenes reenacted or be a part of. I remember there being a conversation on one of the podcasts. It might have been on Vegas of Confessions. Maybe it was on Chris Kim's show. Where they had like this discussion on like what Vegas, I think it was on Faces and Aces, of like what scenes would you want to either be a part of or see reenacted or something like that.
Do you know who was one of the people that Chris Kim had on to discuss that?
Was it you?
It was me.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
it was me. It was, and my answer was the scene in Casino where Ace Rothstein has the politician coming in, kind of leaning on him to get a job for his, I think it was his brother-in-law or something like that. And De Niro's character stands up and, you know, basically tells him to go fuck himself as politely as possible. And I love it. I think most of our politicians need to be told to go fuck themselves.
Yes.
On a regular basis and without lube. And it was definitely a thing. But that's funny that's the thing that you remember. And I was one of the people.
Well, your contributions were clearly memorable.
Yeah, well, you know, like most things, right? You remember that I'm there, but that's about it. But sometimes I guess you don't even remember that I'm there.
Was Julian on the discussion?
Las Vegas. No, I think it was Joe Q from California,
okay,
myself, and there was a third person. This is like a year old at this point.
Yeah, it's a while ago. I don't feel bad for not remembering all the details here.
Yeah. All right.
Well. Faces and Aces, though. Check that out. Chris Kim does a good job producing that show. Without putting much thought into it, one of my favorite scenes out of any movie that is that could possibly make that list is the crap scene out of Heart 8, where Philip Seymour Hoffman's character just goes on this fun little monologue of like, I'm, you know, Heart 8, like, I'm this old for you, old timer, like, I'm gonna light my cigarette, you better make your bet. Every time I watch that, I think to myself, I need to learn that routine and then just randomly at a craps table just do it. And see, and I would want to do it. It would want to, I want to be among people that I know, right? But see how long it takes for people to realize that, that that's in fact what I'm doing if they were to know that. But it's such a, if there's no way I could do it well. And that's the only reason, that's why I haven't bothered trying to learn it.
Well, if you can't do it well, then, you know.
Right. I'm not going to do it just to say that I did it. You know what I mean, Eric?
Like, right. That's, yeah. That's exactly my point.
Yeah. Yeah. So unless I can nail it where it's like, it was a nice little like paying some homage to Philip Seymour Hoffman, I'm not going to do it, but maybe one day. Eric, have you gotten your book? Did you get your book?
Came in the mail today. And wonderful. Then one day.
Then One Day by Chris Andrews was the inaugural book from the inaugural quarter of the Better Life Book Club that is available at patreon.com/thebetterlife. I am browsing, I'm putting some thought into the next book. And so this time around, so long as you pledged on Patreon at that level, and there was actually a transaction in the pledge, I just considered you part of the book club and I pushed you out just to sort of reward people for coming on board. To make sure that to sort of curb anybody's idea of coming in on the third month and then hopping out and coming back into the. So the next quarter is July, August, September. You need to have pledged by the like third week of July or of August. And then like the first week of September is when I'll send the next book out. So essentially by August, you have to be a patron inside that book level pledge amount, to get the book for third quarter, for the July, August, September quarter. So keep that in mind if that's something that you want. And look, if you want to skip July and just get in August, if that's what you want to do, fine. But no sliding in September and then getting the book for that month or for that quarter. I'm not quite sure. I've narrowed it down to a few, and maybe I'll make an announcement in a few weeks on what I think the book will be, but it won't be specific to any type of game or gambling. It'll still be the ones that I'm looking at.
No tiddlywinks.
What I mean is it's not going to be a blackjack book. It's not going to be a sports bet. Like, it's going to be a book on gamblers and gambling. It's going to be a little more broad, not broad is not a word for it. But anyways, you're gonna say it's not gonna be niche. So if you're, yeah, I was gonna say there. If you're interested in joining the book club, you can do it at patreon.com/thebetterlife, or you can just go on there and do any sort of pledge to support the show. Tip your dealers, tip your cocktail waitresses, and tip your favorite podcast hosts. And Eric, we are the favorite podcast hosts of a number of people, and I thank them all for supporting us on Patreon. The Drink and Push shirts is in order. I thank everybody for their pre-order on that. That is going into production. There'll be limited inventory, so when they come in, if you didn't get a chance to pre-order and you still want one, there will be an opportunity for that, but I'm not going to have like a whole box of shirts. I may have like one of each size ready to go. And then the drink and throw thing, I drink and I throw things, Game of Thrones, play on words. Me and my guy are finishing designing that. That'll be a pre-order only. So there, I'm not even going to stock any of those. So when that goes up, you'll have an opportunity to order. If I have any left over, I'll keep them up for sale. Otherwise, it'll be a pre-order only situation, but, hopefully that'll be ready to go before the end of the week. And I think that's it for housekeeping. Am I missing anything here, Eric?
I just have one more little story.
Oh, you have a, please.
Yeah. Please. Yeah. So apparently we have more listeners than we had thought that are either active slot players or advantage slot players. I had received five or six messages from these listeners who, based on my description last week of the 6 hours waiting for this machine to pay off, they knew what machine it was. They knew how it was primed. They were, you know, basically giving me the other half of the story. And they told me that universally, they unanimously said to me, you got very lucky at 6 hours. That could have gone a lot longer. Mm. One of the messages said that they know of somebody who played it for 72 hours straight. They ate and they slept at the machine.
And slept.
Yeah.
Is that possible? I know it's possible to sleep at a machine, but like, wouldn't they kick you out if they caught you sleeping on a machine?
I think if it's like 10 minutes at a time and
I
think if you explain like, look man, I'm stuck 10 grand on this machine, I'm gonna keep going to
just try to catch a quick nap. Right.
I think they'll let it fly if they can verify, you know, that you've been playing that long. But this was not this was, you know, what was extended to me, not for these people. They know it. They know the play, and 6 hours is like child's play.
Wow.
So I'm gonna consider myself lucky, and I'm not doing that again.
Yeah. For all of you that are advantage slot players, and you're playing 72 hours to take advantage of that advantage play, more power to you. Because I would not have the patience for that. Would be interested to hear those stories though, for sure. Sort of what that experience is like. How does it mess with your head 48 hours in? You're like, and you start wondering like, oh, at what point am I just like wasting time?
Well, you know, at some point it's going to hit the cycles. You know, they have, you know, Prozima, who I seem to mention every week now, he definitely charts these machines and has a good idea as to how long it should be in between bonuses, so to speak. It's going to come. It's going to happen. Does your bankroll run out before it happens?
Right.
Like there's a lot of things that I think can go wrong where 72 hours of play is just not worth it to me. There's nowhere near enough EV for that to be something that I would do to myself. But, you know, there are people that do this as their full-time profession. So, yeah. You know, good on them and more power to them.
Yeah. One more thing I wanted to mention. I forgot to write this down on my notes, but ABC has, it's available on Hulu as well. ABC has brought back an old game show called Card Sharks. It was a thing, I think, back in the 70s and 80s.
This was my jam growing up. Like,
right?
Yeah, Bob Uecker was the host.
Right.
No, it wasn't Bob Uecker.
No. Bob Eubanks.
Bob Eubanks, thank you.
Yep.
Who, you know, he was like a game show host for like five different shows.
Yeah.
But in any event, Bob Eubanks, I watched last week it was on. And I don't watch any TV, but because it was on, you know, they showed that it was coming on during the NBA Finals, I made it a point to watch this. I don't remember there being such overt gambling in this show. Like you win $10,000 by winning the base game, and that's $10,000 for you to gamble in the bonus round, and you are straight up gambling.
Yeah, yeah. My favorite aspect of the game is the sort of over under game that they play, right, to decide like who's gonna take their turn. And I was thinking that we might play versions of that when we have other people on the show here. Cause I really enjoyed that. I think it was fun. I found myself, you know, they're like, out of 100 people, like, or, you know, out of 100 men, how many of them, you know, say they, you know, I don't know, like cars, right? You know, and then, you know, they stayed in, I'm, you know, for the listeners who are not aware, they say, how many people out of this set say they do this? And then the person sets the number. It's usually between 1 and 100. And then the other person gets the opportunity to go high or low. Like, oh, I think the actual number is higher or lower than that. And it's interesting. Now, I've only watched one episode. I don't know how long the new version's been out, but I just watched it for the first time. What I found really interesting about that aspect was the person who was setting the number seemed to try to get the guess right and wasn't trying to position their guess right.
Right.
And I thought that and I was like, this is where someone who does understand gambling and odds and stuff like that would be able to perform a little bit better, because you know, if I think the proper number is 75, well, I'm probably actually going to set it maybe a little closer to like 65 and force you to commit over, right? And position myself and give myself a stronger position you know, maybe one day we can talk about the game theory of that. But anyways, I enjoyed it's a super simple game to watch. Like, it's an old school game. Many of you probably have watched it growing up, but as Eric mentioned, a little bit more gambling involved in this one.
Yeah, no, it's fun. I'm a fan. I like it.
And Joel McHale, very entertaining. So
yeah, he did a good job. I was impressed.
Yeah. Very good. Well, perfect timing. We're wrapping up. My dinner actually just got delivered to me here. So Eric, it was a pleasure talking to you, sir. I will hopefully come back next week with not only some more talk on betting on the World Cup, but some actual casino stories. As I hope to hit MGM between now and then, and unsure who it will be, but there will likely be an interview for next week's episode. So Eric, good luck in all your way. You said you're way out. I'm gonna tread lightly. I'm going easy this week now that you said that you're you had a big week. So I'm gonna tread lightly.
If I'm taking the drive to the Meadowlands to make a withdrawal, tread lightly.
Treading lightly, because after three really nice weeks, I want to keep a nice trend going. So I'm Tim Lawson on behalf of Eric Rosenthal. Good night and good luck.